system back there, and we walk back there and we look at it and we just pass by. And so it's pretty complicated to me, brother. He's doing a great job with it. So tonight, can everybody see that good enough? Try and see it better up there, can't you? Everybody can see the slides pretty good. We're going to start looking into more of spirit-led communication tonight. I'm going to hold this because I can't stand it. And so we have talked about God communicating with us. We've talked about what communication is. We'll talk a little more about that here in the preface of this. And then we're going to get down to where we live. This is not going to be a super feel-good teaching because it's going to get down where we live. You know, and so that's how we grow, though. And we want to get down where we're living. And so everybody that's sitting in here tonight, young people, don't think it's not for you. It's for you. Children, don't think it's not for you. London and Weston, it's for you. Millennials, it's for you. What's the next generation? Generation, well, that's what I am. XYZ, whatever. And the rest of you folks, it's for all of us. And so I'm going to have you, how many people have their Bibles or have access to a Bible on a device? Okay, good. Because we will be looking up some scriptures in a little bit. And we'll want to be like, 1, 2, 3, 4, okay? So we're going to start with, why are we even studying about communication? Did anybody really think about that? I mean, were you like, well, what's this going to be about? This kind of might have sounded boring at first. You may be thinking, what are we even discussing about communication? So communication is what? It's how we relay what? Who can tell me? What do we relay when we communicate? Information. Very good. It's how we relay information. And it's very important because the minute we get up and the minute we were awake enough to feel like we can verbalize something, guess what we're doing? We're communicating. We're relaying some information. Coffee. You know. That's what. Get out of the bathroom. You know. There's just things that, the normal things, you know. Did you pack my lunch? You know, where's my socks? This kind of thing. Every morning. It's communication. We're relaying information. And we do communication so robotically. We just do it. We don't even pay attention to it. We just get up and we do it. For the most part, there's some parts of communication that it just flies out of us, and for the most part, we don't even think about it. True or false? True. You know, that's just the way we are. God created us to communicate. That's not a bad thing. The caveat of that, caveat means like the failure, bad part of that, is that we live in a fallen world, so everything in this world gets corrupted, including communication. So that's kind of why we're teaching on it tonight. So communication is relaying information. We can relay it either verbally. What's verbally mean, Titus? Words, speaking, or non-verbally. Ah, there you go. Non-verbal. Like Grant beating someone up, you know? He's communicating that he loves them, isn't he? So verbal and non-verbal communication. So we're going to talk about that as well. And a lot of times, we don't even consciously recognize some of our non-verbal communication. We just don't. And I'm up here, and I'm just like, I feel like there's a lot of you out there, and you're looking at me, and you're seeing everything about my non-verbal communication. And you'll be thinking about it. The more I talk about communication, you'll say, well, she does this. This and she has that funny little tick, and she always does her fingers like this, you know, and it's going to stick out to you because we're going to talk about it. But we're going to hone in on really what the importance of it is here in just a minute. Let's have slide 2, Brother Lucas. We must be effective, and when we say effective, when I say effective tonight, the only way we can be effective is spirit led. So when I say affected, I'm saying the same thing as spirit led. I'm not saying any other definition for effective. So let's look at Psalms 50:23. Pastor brought this verse into the teaching, and it's so perfect for the teaching. Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me, and to him that ordereth his conversation aright will I show the salvation of God. So let's break it down just briefly, because we don't want to get bogged down too long. If we order our conversation aright, what's God going to show us? To us or anybody else? What do you think? What does salvation really mean? I take it that it's going to be for us, but it's also going to be for, if it affects us, it's going to affect everyone around us. That's the way it's supposed to be. So it's important that we order our conversation aright. And when we say aright, that means we say it right. Okay? So that's going to be our beginning verse. And now let's go on. Well, stay right there just one more time and let me finish this, Brother Lucas, and we'll move on to the next one. You must be effective, spirit-led to build intimacy in relationships. Okay, so we're going to discuss some things tonight. Marriage, husband and wife, communication, parent-child communication. There's not going to be anybody's going to be left out here tonight. Friends, communication, sibling, communication, work environment, communication, church family. Yeah, work environment. Was that what? I see some nonverbal back there. And so, work environment, church family. If we struggle to be spirit-led in the way we communicate, we will hinder our opportunities. I didn't say that. He said that. Because he said we had to order it aright. Then he will show us the salvation of God. That's not my opinion. That was his opinion. That was taken from God's website. And so, if we're not spirit-led, we're going to hinder our opportunities to win the lost and what? Further the kingdom of God. So those are the reasons we're studying this. So that's a home premise of it. So when we get down into this, it's going to get personal. But let's let it get personal. Let's let it look into each of us. I'm not looking at you, but you are looking at me. We're going to look within ourselves. That's what it's all about. So let's go on to slide three, Brother Lucas. Thank you. So I love this. This was not my definition, but this was a great definition, so I put it up there. So communication is the ability to ensure that people understand not only what you say, but also what you mean. It is also the ability to listen to and understand others. Developing both of these aspects of communication takes a lot of time, patience, and hard work. Amen. It's easier to just blab something out there than it is to communicate. Because communication is not just telling somebody something. You're conveying something, and you're trying to convey the meaning of what you're saying, and then you are trying to convey it to that person, and you have to listen to them as well to communicate with them. Communication isn't just one way. But how many times, let's put it like this, you've received just one-way communication? We all have. One-way communication. How does one-way communication really make you feel? A lot of it depends on how it's delivered. But usually, one-way communication, when I say like that, it's like, I tell Titus something, I blah, 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 I tell him something, I walk away and don't let him even say anything. And Titus is like, yeah, you don't feel like you're what? Worth much. You don't think that they think you're worth much. And it might not even have been a bad thing that they said, but they did not take time to let you respond or to listen to you. So communication is a two-way street. So we want to keep that in mind as we start working through this. Okay, next slide. How many have heard of the term communication breakdown? We have a communication breakdown. You may have had a communication breakdown today. If you haven't had one today, you may have one tomorrow. You will have one probably this week. Sometimes you have many in one day. And that's when you want to go home and just pull the covers over your head and like forget what happened. Communication breakdown. So we're going to discuss this. This happens in the world. It happens on jobs. It happens in marriages. It happens between friends. It happens in churches. It happens between pastors and parishioners. It happens everywhere. What are we going to do about it? We're going to get mad and roll up our fists and fight it out. Well, there may be a better solution.
So let's look up here at the slide. It says a communication breakdown happens every time a communicator miscommunicates what they are really trying to say. So communication breakdown begins first with who? The one talking, the communicator. Yeah. I'm asking questions because I see eyes drooping. And so the communicator starts with the communicator. So whoever's bringing the thought, what they are really trying to say, and the hearer misunderstands and misinterprets what has been communicated. It is important to remember all sides of communication breakdown. Those who communicated, they start with the communication, but those who are communicated to. So what's the responsibility of those who are receiving a communication? What's the responsibility, Grant? If I'm communicating to you, what's your responsibility? Okay, good job, to listen. So, do we listen? That's our job. So, if we're not listening, there will be a what? Communication breakdown. Yeah, there will be. Yeah, especially if it's a parent and child thing, or a husband and wife, you know. And so, it starts with the communicator. If they do not communicate clearly and make it... make sure that the person understands, there will be a breakdown there as well. So you look at the pictures, you can see the wall, you know, sometimes it's a husband and wife thing because men think different than women. And women, you know, are really brilliant. And he won't let me up here again. And so, but they do think differently. But we are both brilliant in certain ways. We all have different ways. And so, but look, we're like that wall sometimes. And I know it's been that way with me and Pastor. And it's because he's male and I'm female. And I'll say, well, yeah, that's the way I did. And he goes, that's not the way I would have thought to do it. And I'm like, but we both got it done. But he didn't think of it. He wouldn't have thought to do it that way. And I didn't understand even the way he was trying to tell me to do it. So I was like, looky here, we did it. And he's like, I never thought about doing it that way. And so, in that situation, and that happens a lot. That happens a lot in marriages. That happens a lot sometimes on the work, in the workplace, because not everybody thinks alike. It happens in churches. Sometimes that can cause what we call a rift between people, because, well, you know, April makes her meatloaf with cream cheese in the middle, and I make my meatloaf without cream cheese in the middle. Nobody likes mine, no. But we're like, she's in April, I'm just picking at April. Well, this is the only way to make it, meatloaf. And probably in their house, that's the only way to make meatloaf, isn't it? You know, if you make it any other way, they're going to like thumbs down you. It's the only way to make meatloaf in their house. But we got to understand when we're out and among other people and working with other people, that may not be the only way. So we don't want to build a wall. We want to be effective in our communication. Go ahead. There you go. And really, you know, meatloaf is very subjective. There's a lot of things you can put in meatloaf. And that's why some people are afraid to eat it. You know, but you know, that's why some people say, I won't touch it. That's why Cindy Shelton says, I won't touch it. She don't like meatloaf. She don't even like to touch hamburger meat, I don't think. And so she's like, not for me. But communication breakdown happens every day. It happens in every scenario, in every facet of life. Sometimes it's minor, sometimes it's not a big deal, but sometimes it becomes major. And when it becomes major, we start having what we know, a term known as dysfunction. What's dysfunction mean? If you're in dysfunction, what's going on? Functioning in error. Things aren't going on. It's just not working right, is it? And so that's why we're studying this so intently. Let's go to the next slide. I love this. I love this cartoon. You got to look at it real close. Now, don't mind all the little words on it yet. Don't pay attention to those. I may have here. Here in a minute, don't leave the slide, but just click it, and it'll highlight all those words here in a minute. And so, okay, look at our cartoon. Raise your hand when you get it. Okay, Pastor, let's call on Pastor since he raised his hand. What happened, Pastor? Yeah, the, you know, that costs you more if they help move you to the table, you know. We save the feet. Yeah, I was still trying to do the job. It was an awesome picture. I said, that is too good. And that's what happens when there's a communication breakdown. You drop the body. And the truth of the matter is, if there's a you drop the body. If there's a communication breakdown in the church, you drop the body. And we'll come back to that. I know it sounds funny, but it's a real thing. So go ahead and click it again. So between older and younger people, do we have a communication gap? Between husband and wife? Between teens? Do all teens think alike? Well, kind of. What about between kids? Between parents and their kids? There's some other ones up there. Oh, I did between two kids. Does every kid always get along? No. Mm-mm. Between men and women. We've already discussed that. But all women get along, right? No, there's communication breakdown. And all men get along, right? Well, here's the deal about men. They don't all get along. They just get over it. You know, they get along. They get it out of their system. They, so to speak, duke it out. And they have their say, and then they're like, well, where are we going to lunch? You know? And that ain't happening with women. That's not happening with women. We're like, ah, see ya. And we walk out, and we got to take a while to get past it. So, communication breakdown, but it's everywhere. How about between the church and the world? Is there communication breakdown? Is there supposed to be? No. So my goal tonight is ultimately landing there. But we can't go out there and communicate with this world if we can't communicate with each other. And it's got to start at the ground level. And it starts at home. We can't go out and win the world if we're not winning at home. We can't. We will not be effective. Remember, effective is what? Spirit-led. So the Bible teaches us we have to be winning at home to take it somewhere else. Your first mission field, our first mission field is our home. And that's where it begins. So we don't want to drop the body. Next slide. Quality communication. Quality communication is equal parts what you say and how you say it and how you listen. We'll talk about that here in a minute. So not only what you say, how you say it. When I say how you say it, what am I referring to? Attitude, which affects the what of your voice. Tone, good. Attitude and tone go together. You can't really separate your attitude from your tone. It's really tough. You have to really be intentional. Because your attitude may be bad about something, but a disciplined person will be able to separate their tone from it. But most of the time, we struggle with that. So what you say, how you say it, and how you listen. Practice love and gentleness in all three. This was taken from fiercemarriage.com, which is it's a pretty neat marriage website. I don't agree with everything that they propagate there, but they do have some good, very straightforward things to help you with your marriage. And so that was one of their slides. Let's go to the next one. I love this, and we'll talk about this. Oh, it's a little bit, sorry. I did it in white. I should have done it in different colors. It's a little bit hard to read. But it says, couples begin growing apart. I can't read it from there. The moment they stop growing together. And the guy that said that's underneath there, I was trying to give him credit, but nobody knows. We can't see his name. But anyway, sorry, mister. But couples begin growing apart the moment they stop growing together. That's powerful. And for all you young people, you know, well, huh, that don't pertain to me, huh? I don't have a sweetheart. If I'm single, I don't. That doesn't pertain to me. Or I, you know, if I'm not in a relationship, it doesn't pertain to me. But yes, it does pertain to us. Because what relationships you have now, how you cultivate your relationship with your siblings, with your children, with your family, that will always relate over to the relationship you will cultivate with possibly the love of your life. How do I want to say this? Used to be, and I think maybe in some families it is still this way, parents who looked out for their daughters and really sifted through their suitors, they would always investigate, they would vet them, so to speak, to find out how they treated their who? Mother. So I vetted you, Lucas, to find out how you treated your mother. Yeah. How you treated your mother. Because how you treat your mother, that was the first close, intimate relationship you built with a female. How you treated them. And now I'm saying that if, regardless of whether they were godly or not godly, we have a responsibility to treat them with respect and compassion and love. But growing together, this is so important. I've seen this happen in ministry. I've seen it happen in churches. That as time goes on, you know, after you're married, and I can just say this, after you're married 41 years, and we've been together 43 years, it becomes routine. How many years have, Jason, you and Sarah been married? 16? Routine. Brother Shelton, how long you guys been married? Yeah. You got the same routine. It can be routine. Brother Charles, you guys been married how many? 27? 27. Sister April? 17. So routine. It can become that way. After you do something repetitively for a number of years. But what is important is, are we growing? Are we growing together, not separate? Are we growing together as a couple, as a family, and as a church? If we start separating in our growth, we're not going to make it. As the marriage goes, so goes what? The family. As the family goes, so goes the church family. Breakdown never stops unless it's confronted and changed. Breakdown never stops. It just continues on. And we look at it as a generational thing if it doesn't get confronted and stopped. Breakdown has to be stopped. We must continue to grow together. And we'll talk about that here in a minute, what it takes to grow together. Most of the time we don't grow together because it takes a lot of what? Work and self what? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it really does. Next slide. There we go. Strong families build strong churches, just reiterating that. And strong spirit-led churches change the world. Strong spirit-led churches change the world and win the lost. But strong churches are only strong as what? The family. And the family is only as strong as what? Yeah, the parents, the leadership in there, the family, whether it be a married or even a single parent, it doesn't matter. It's what are we doing at home? Are we winning at home? Because it's a building block. It's one block on top of another block on top of another block. Sometimes I think we think, oh, that's the church's responsibility. We're just, the church will come together as a church and we'll go do this big thing and we'll do an outreach or something like that and we'll try to win the loss. But then if we go home and we're not winning in our homes, are we really being spirit-led when we're out? You can't get it out of order. It has to build one on another. Next slide. Okay, and Lucas, on this one, I'm going to, let me pull this up on mine. because I've got some pictures that go along with this slide, and I'll tell you when to turn to them. But let me pull that one up on here. So these are just different ways of, like, communication basically breakdown. But there are some. There's one good one at the end. My computer's going to be breaking down here. Okay, so now it's going to be Bible race. First one, Ecclesiastes 8:1. Somebody grab it. Another one, Proverbs 15:1. Somebody grab that one. Another one, James 3:6. And then one more for now, Philippians 2:3-5. All right. So the first one, communication ways that cause breakdown in information flow. So we all agree that breakdown is like, we can't have that. That's how we do not grow. So we need to fix it. We need to fix this. We need to find out, why are we having this breakdown? So the first one is expression and facial language. So we did talk about that a little bit. When we communicate, we always usually have an expression and facial language. So do we consider facial expression a real means of communication? Does it bother you if someone's communicating to you and they're doing like what Grant's doing? Yeah. Does it bother you? Or does it bother you if you are communicating to them and they're doing this? I could do another one, but it's almost embarrassing. I won't do it. I've seen it in church. And I'm like, no, this can't be happening. Does it bother you if you're trying to communicate and you see someone doing this? You know? And, you know, there's lots of different ways. Or does it bother you if you're trying to communicate with somebody and I don't know how to do it. I don't really know how to make this expression. I'm sure I do it. I just don't know how I do it. What's an expression? What I'm trying to express is like contempt. They're just like in your mind you're thinking, duh, you are so dumb. I don't want to hear this. You know that, there you go. You're like, wow. You're like, the eyeball roll up, I guess, is the little emoji. You know, you're like, really? You know, and you try not to do it in front of people, but every now and then it shows up, you know. So all of these things speak things to us. You know, that's where the emojis came from. Do you think that they just sit around? Where do you think they made up these emojis from? People's faces. You've seen them on their faces. What do you got? Oh, condescending. We're going to cover that here in a minute. Hang on to that thought. Okay, so expression and facial language. Ecclesiastes 8:1. Who has it? Okay, read it loud. A man's what will make his face shine? Wisdom. A man's wisdom will make his face shine. So that's teaching us that we need to speak with what? At all times. Wisdom. Because that's the way we shine. And contempt and all these other not so, polite things will be on our face. So be mindful of expression and facial language. The next one, tame the tone. Who has Proverbs 15:1? Read it loud. A soft answer turneth away wrath. Yes. So tone. Tone is very important. When it says a soft answer, it doesn't mean that you have to just talk like a little mouse and you're just all wimpy and all that. That's not what it's talking about. You may disagree. But it's the tone. Tone really can either bring things down or it can escalate it fast. Has anybody ever noticed that? When you were a kid growing up, or teenager more usually, about 13, mom and dad said, don't use that tone. Because usually before then you were too afraid to use that tone. But when you got about 13 or 14, sometimes 12-year-olds did it. 11, yeah, it happens. You know, don't use that tone. Don't even, tone. It escalated the situation really fast. You've used the wrong tone with somebody. Who has been in a conversation and it was conflicting and the tones got escalated? What happened, Tim? Got messy. Did you have a communication breakdown? Total disaster. Did you drop the body? Yeah, you stomped the body. And so, you know, it happens. And so in that situation, and I'm preaching to the choir. We're the good guys, so to speak. You know, what I'm saying is, whose responsibility is it to keep the tone right? In the given, it's ours as a Christian. To whom much is given, much is what? Required. Tone. Watch our tones. Did somebody grab James 3 and 6? Go ahead. Wow, that's pretty straight. No way to miss that. No way to misinterpret that. And I have a video I'm going to show you about that here in just a minute. So I want to keep moving through this. I'm not going to spend too much time on that because I want you to see this video. I got a video clip. It's really good. So tame the tone. Tone will escalate and will cause an immediate communication breakdown. The next one, the bully. Demeaning communication. The bully is someone who communicates with an arrogancy that demeans other people. So when they get into the conversation, they make the person that they're communicating with try to make them feel bad. It's almost like it's a manipulative type. And it's actually part of a temperament failure. But bullying is people who come down condescending on people, demeaning them, shaming them in public, or embarrassing them in public. Has anyone in here ever been embarrassed in public verbally? I have. I've been embarrassed in public verbally. How did it make you feel? Honestly, how did it make you feel? I had several emotions, to tell you the truth. How did it make you feel? Okay, explain. Right. Well, there you go. So you were mature about that. In his situation, he knew he made a mistake. And so we've all made mistakes. And that was the mature way to look at that. And then the other side of that is, well, what if you didn't make a mistake and somebody was just being a bully about it? That stinks. And the other side of that is we do not want to be bullies. We have to be careful because the longer we walk, if we're not careful, we'll develop this attitude and we've got to guard ourselves, that especially when we're out in the world, that we might be a step higher, maybe a little bit better. And we're not. He is, but we're not. So we've got to be careful not to allow bullying to be in our communication, making them look bad in front of people. The next one, the browbeater. So that is James 1:19. Who wants to take that? Raise your hands so I'll know who's got it. James 1. Okay, Brother Robert's got that one. And vocabulary, James 3 and 2. Who wants that one? Lindsay's got that one. The dagger. Do I have one for the dagger? I don't know if I put one there for it, but we'll get to that one here in a minute. The interrupter, Proverbs 16:5. Somebody grab that one. And let's go ahead and finish them out here. The last one is the wholesome tongue, Proverbs 15:4. So somebody grab that and we'll go through them. So the next one is the browbeater. Now the bully, you may think the bully and the browbeater are the same people, but they're not exactly the same people. The bully likes to manipulate and make people look bad. He likes to shame people and embarrass them because he thinks it makes him look what? Big. Yeah, better. And we all know it doesn't. But the next one is the browbeater. Now, the browbeater don't necessarily want to make somebody look bad. They just want to make sure that you understand really harshly or sternly that you didn't do this right and you should do this better. And so a browbeater, like, it's not necessarily they're trying to embarrass you, but they come on really strong, and then they give you sometimes harsh lectures. Now, let's qualify lectures. Are all lectures bad? Yes, everybody says yes. We're all in agreement now. No. No, because in the true definition of a lecture is what? Just teaching. Yeah. It doesn't, it's not ordained. And so it's not supposed to be bad, is it? No. But lecture has really has a bad connotation to it, does it not? Why? The minute we say, oh, there's going to be a lecture, we don't all run to it and sit down, hey, we can't wait. You know, we don't. We're like, oh. We have a facial expression when we say lecture. Every one of us do. Except for maybe Matthew. Matthew kind of likes lectures, but he's thinking of the original lecture. Why? Yeah, and it's interesting, yeah. But lecture has become, lecture's taken a bad rap. And so now it means you're going to have a harsh encounter, possibly. You're going to get lined out, and it may be lengthy. So that is browbeating. Pounding a message. We're not called to pound a message. So we're not called to pound a message out in the world. We're not called to pound a message in this church between one another. And we are not called to pound the message to one another in our homes. And dads and moms, we're not called to pound the message into our children. We can spank them, but to verbally pound the message, we really shouldn't have to. We can communicate it to them. If they don't get it, we pound their backside. We don't have to pound the message, you know, or do whatever discipline it takes to help them understand it. So avoiding browbeating. The next one, vocabulary. Did I have somebody read the James 1:19? Go ahead. There it is. Swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. The browbeater is not slow to wrath, and he's not swift to hear or slow to speak. None of those. He is very anxious to get on the job and get it taken care of, but it gets excessive. So we want to guard ourselves from that. Vocabulary. Now, when we say vocabulary, I'm talking about words. Do words make a difference? What we say. Can everybody agree in here that there are some words in our American language that Christians should not be going around saying? You know, we've talked about this upstairs quite a bit, and a lot of people are just like, you know, who decides what words are not nice? You know. And the bottom, you know, and that's interesting to look around because I've researched that. I'm like, well, who decided that this word is like a curse word? You know, who decided all this? And for sake of time, I'm not going to go into that. I could share some things with you about that. But the bottom line is, in our society, there are some words that are deemed curse words, and everybody recognizes them as profanity. So it would be best. It's not just best. Christians don't say it. Yeah, Christians don't say those things. And then qualifying even worldly slang words sometimes that are to replacements for vulgarity should not be proceeding out of our mouth as well. Because for one thing, the person hearing that a lot of times will think the other in their mind. So have we edified them? Absolutely not. We feel that. And the Bible says, and we'll get to the verse, that we are to, our speech is to be with grace, seasoned with salt. We're to preserve. We're supposed to edify these people. So watch our vocabulary. Refrain from explicits and our words that even are the substitutes for them. And so, did you have something real quick, Brother Matthew? Are you just listening? Okay. The dagger. Okay, sarcasm. Now, this may be debatable. And that's okay. We can talk about it. That's because not all sarcasm is mean. But, when you really study out what sarcasm is, and sarcasm is using irony, usually, to mock or contempt someone. Who can tell me the meaning of contempt? Pastor said they won't understand that word. And so, but Grant knows the word of contempt. Give us the meaning.
Oh, no.
Good try. Anyway. Contempt. Irony. To mock or to use contempt or to... I lost my train of thought there. Whoop. To show contempt towards someone. So, good. What is it? Disdain. Okay. Explain disdain. You said it. Look down on them. Yeah. So sarcasm, if it's truly, truly in jest, then, you know, sometimes sarcasm is just a funny thing. But the bottom line is sarcasm is very, it's a fine line there. And I've got something to show you on a screen here in a minute about sarcasm. But sarcasm is usually ridiculing with contempt, thinking that person deserves some scorn because they're worthless. We use sarcasm because we think they're worthless and they deserve some scorn. So we have to be careful about sarcasm. Let's go to the next one. The interrupter. How many likes to be cut off when they're talking to somebody? Lucas loves that, don't you? Lucas is like, ooh. You want to use the dagger, huh? And so, okay. Proverbs 16:5, who has it? Tim. Ooh. Everybody that's proud in their heart is an abomination to the Lord. Abomination, for the younger people who may not really know that word that much. They've heard it. Probably they're like, well, I don't really know what that really means. When God says something is abomination, it's like God does not like it. He never liked it. He will never like it. He will always dislike it. He will never change his mind about it. He hates it. And so abomination is like the real deal. It's not like, oh, yeah, you know, yeah, you probably shouldn't do that. Absolutely. And pride is one of those things. And that's not the only scripture about that one. But pride. The interrupter is a person who is full of pride. So if we're continually interrupting somebody. So now we're just going to talk about just plain old common courtesy before we move on. So let's take something. Let's take an example in the church. Someone is speaking. And let's say Brother Tate he's sharing a story with Sister Shelley. And she's sitting there patiently listening and being a good listener and all that. And he's communicating to her. Well, I have an agenda. And I come back over here and I'm like, well, Tate, I want you to go do this. And you need to go upstairs and you need to do this right now. And I just cut him off. And then I move on. And Tate's like, really, lady? He's probably like, he probably gave me the eyeballs, you know. And like, looked. And then Shelley was like mortified. And she's like, well, that was rude. And she may not have said it, but she thought it, because it was. And so being careful to not just interrupt somebody. Now, that in a social setting, we really probably in here wouldn't hardly do that much. But would we do it at home? Would we do it to our spouse? Would we do it to our dad? Would we do it to our sister? Would we do it to our mom? Well, that's different. Is it different? Not really. It's not. We have to learn, because if we don't learn it at home, will we do it in a social setting for the most part? We won't. Mm-mm. So good. The blamer. Let's get through this real quick because I got some more things I want to show you. The blamer is the one who this communicates not willing to own or repent of their own mistakes. A blamer communicates it's always someone else's fault. And so, who can I pick on? I will pick on Tim. Okay, Tim is going to be the martyr. Tim. And I say, Tim, you know, how was your week? Oh, it went terrible. And I said, what happened? Oh, my, I had a flat tire and I ran out of gas. Oh, you ran out of gas? Well, what happened? Well, the stupid gas station wasn't open. I said, oh, really? What time did you try to go? Well, 3 o'clock in the morning. And I'm like, well, why didn't you get gas at 10 o'clock? Well, I didn't think of it then. It was that dumb gas station. That's why I had to walk home. It's always something. And it's because Dad didn't air up my tire that morning. Well, did Dad say, well, you know, Tim, the tire may be low. You may better get some air and get some gas while you're there. No, Dad didn't air it up, so I had a flat tire. It's always someone else's, you know. And it's always the wife's. Well, we get somewhere, and you like you know, and you've got the wrong. You got two different socks on, and you're like, okay. Well, my wife, she rolled these wrong. You're like, well, you know, you might have picked them out in the dark, and you didn't get the right ones. It's always someone else's fault, the blamer. And those are funny things, but sometimes we've got to be careful about that, that we want to just put our blame on other people, and that makes us not accountable. We are accountable for all our own decisions, church, regardless of what it is. In the wholesome tongue, Proverbs 15:4, this is the spirit-led tongue which brings life. Who has Proverbs 15:4? Okay, Isaac. Okay, and that's a key verse that we will go back to. The tree of life. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life. We are to speak life. We are the church. We are not the walking dead. Who remembers the movie? I didn't watch it. I was like, that's creepy. And don't even tell me if you watched it. But we are not the walking dead. We are the alive and well. I was going to make a t-shirt several years ago. I think me and Lindsay talked about it. I said, you know, we're not the walking dead. The church is alive and well. We are to be a tree of life. In the next two slides, you can just briefly go through that. I just have pictures of our people here, all the different ones we talked about. See that number three? Have you ever seen anybody when you're trying to talk and they're doing things like that? Yeah. Not to point any fingers. There's the browbeater. Oh, right there. Sarcasm is the secret language everyone uses when they want to say something mean to your face. I didn't write that. I didn't write it. I wished I would have. It's pretty smart. But I'm like, I didn't write it. Now, I realize a motive may not always be mean. I understand that. But we've got to check our motives with sarcasm. We really do. How many people have been hurt by a sarcastic remark? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Whether it was intentional or not, we don't know. We can't judge their motives. We don't know. But the bottom line is, if we want to be effective in communication, we got to guard ourselves from that. And what you tell people who continue to interrupt, shh, and smile. And that usually shushes them. Okay, next slide. Okay, that was my other two verses. We can keep going. Okay, six tips. Who's been in a conversation that all of a sudden you realize it's escalating and then it's beginning to go south? It's like, it's deteriorating. I'm losing ground here. You know, it's going downhill. Six tips for what to do in a case of an emergency like this. So let's look at this. And actually, I borrowed the five, and I've got my reference there from this website, but I added number six, and I borrowed that from God. And he said it was fine. It was not copyrighted. And so the first one, in the midst of a situation, when things are going bad, you sense that your tone got out of hand, their tone got out of hand, then your tone got out of hand again, and things got wild. It was headed out. The first thing, inside yourself, you need to think, I need to own my own mistake. I need to own this. Okay, what did I do? You need to do this quick reevaluation inside of you. My tone was wrong. Correct it instantly. My attitude was proud. Bring it down. You may say, man, I can't do it that quick. You can if you prepare yourself to do this. You have to be mindful of it. Slow down. If you're talking all the time, you're going to make a mistake. Slow it down. Be quiet and listen. And then you can figure out what we need to do to change this from a breakdown to an edifying situation. Focus on unity, not on destroying. Focus, okay, we need to bring this back together. Let's talk business, even in a business realm. You know, if you're talking with a customer and things start going the wrong way, you know, you're really wanting to keep the customer, you know, overall. Every now and then there's some, you know, but basically we want to keep them. So you're thinking big picture here. Things are not going wrong, or things aren't going right here. Own what you've done wrong within yourself. Start changing it internally. Slow down. Listen to them. Just stop. You may be saying, man, I can't get this under control. Then just be quiet. If we'll be quiet, we can get it under control quicker. And then focus on unity. Win people, not arguments. Win people, not arguments. And then be patient. And all five of those are, you can use them anywhere in life. You can use them with Addison, Titus. Addie, you can use this with Titus. Weston and London need to do this. They're doing much better. We've had them in therapy. But no, they get therapy at home. But they're doing much better. They used to have a real communication breakdown. Those two. So we can use this everywhere. Second, and then the last one is let the Holy Spirit lead. So the bottom line of the whole teaching tonight, we can implement all of these things. But the bottom line is we have to be Spirit-led. Now, doing all five of those, are we being Spirit-led? Can we say that that is something the Spirit would lead us to do? Absolutely. You say, well, I don't see a scripture verse for every one of those things. Study your scriptures. They're in there. I didn't have time to put them all up there. But 2 Corinthians 13:11, finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect. Be perfect. Wow. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Unity. Live in peace. Be patient. Win people, not arguments. And the God of love and peace shall be with you. Ephesians 4:3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. It's all biblical. The Spirit will lead us that direction. Let's go to the next slide. Ooh, that one's hard to read too. I'm sorry about that. I need to change the coloring next time. I'm not going to read the whole thing there, but it's Galatians 5:22, which is, who can tell me? Fruit of the Spirit. So we're talking about being Spirit-led. So where's the Spirit going to lead us to? Oh, he's going to lead us to the wilderness. Well, he led Jesus to the wilderness. And sometimes he does lead us through the wilderness. But when we're dealing with people, the Spirit's going to lead us where? He's going to lead us to this. Did that help some? That helped a little bit, didn't it? A little bit. He's going to lead us to the fruit of the Spirit when we're dealing with our wives, our parents, our children, our friends, our siblings, the people we don't like. You know, church, family, work, whatever. He'll lead us to the fruit of the Spirit. If our response doesn't fall under this criteria, I could read it, but everybody knows it. You know it by heart. If it doesn't fall under this criteria, then are we being led by the Spirit? We can't be. Absolutely not. So that's the main reason I put that there. Okay, let's go to the next slide. And this is going to be interesting. Everybody wake up. You're going to like this. Rise and shine. Okay, so you all just have to pull it up from the email here in a minute. But this is a video that I found on YouTube, and we'll probably turn the lights out too when we play it. And it's based on the scripture James 3:2-6. Now, it's not King James Version. I am an advocate of the King James, and so are all of you. But you can read it in your King James Version Bible. But you've got to see what he does here. It's going to speak to you. So, well, it's about 5 minutes long, so nobody's asleep. We're going to turn the lights out. I want you to watch what happens here. It's not good. I tell you what, it was interesting that a fellow used that analogy in how he, you know, used that steel wool. Has anybody lit steel wool like that? It's crazy. How it's interesting, isn't it? Interesting, isn't it? Yeah. And how it just starts consuming the whole thing. And I really like what he did when he put all those different little pieces of paper in there and what the tongue can do to people. And that's why we're talking about this and why we're really emphasizing so many things and why I'm trying to drive it home that sometimes we're like, well, we don't talk that away to people. And generally speaking, we do not talk that away to people. But all of us at times can yield to our natural carnal nature more than we should. And being careful to maintain good communication, because ultimately, what is our goal? And let's throw this out here, and I'm fixing to wind it up. What is the goal of this church? Why are we here? Reach the lost? Yeah. We are here. That's why God provided this building, provided for us to pay for this building, provided for us to get the land, provided everything in here, provided strength to bodies to get it done. We are here to reach the lost. We are here to present the gospel and further the kingdom. And that's why communication, you're going to do it through communication, through what you say and how we live, how we present ourselves, facial, body language, tone. The way we look is important. The way we look is the important way we treat people. But where does it begin? It doesn't begin out there on the street. It begins in our home. It has to begin in our home. The next slide there, Brother Lucas, if you don't mind. Luke 6:45, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. An evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. So basically, that's telling us, I tell you what, let's just do this. I can make a commentary on it. Raise your hand. Somebody give me a commentary on that verse. What is that telling us? Who wants to give the commentary on it? Everybody's hiding. Whatever you store in your heart's going to come out. There you go. So it's important that we be real careful what we store. Because, you know, if we store it in there, eventually it's gonna come out. It's going to surface. Matthew 12:36, but I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. Maybe some of you kids may not even have known that verse was in there. I don't know if you've heard of that verse for sure. But that's what it says, and it says it will be. You will give account for every idle word. Every one of us will. Every idle word. So when you look that up in the Greek, idle means it's useless or barren. So communication that was useless or barren, we're going to give account for. That's why communication is so important. It's important for us to think before we speak. It's important for us not to fall into some of those traps of those, what I had 9 different ones up there, the different ways that we can become. And so we want to perpetuate life. There are 2 fires, and we just talked about the fire in that video. 2 fires. There's a holy fire, and there's an unholy fire. In Acts chapter 2, it was a holy fire. In James chapter 3, it's a what? It's not a holy fire, is it? It's an unholy fire. Are the principles of God ignited and burning within your heart daily? Have you even thought about it? Have I thought about it? Moment to moment, in every situation, scenario, in all that we do, is the fire burning within us, that holy fire, day by day? And when we get up in the morning and we are addressing one another, and I know we're family and we get used to each other, and there's room for that. But there's never room for disrespect in a family or anywhere. The key to true communication is respecting the other person. All the rest of those things will fall into place if you respect them. Respect your children. They have a right to be respected. Wives need to be respected. Husbands need to be respected. And, you know, our bosses need to be respected. All of that goes together. Let's go to the next slide, Brother Lucas. When we learn to respond to each other rather than react, and Brother Jason preached on that, been a long time ago now, but he preached a great message on responding instead of reacting. He's covered that here in our church a couple times. We will move more quickly in our conflict toward resolution. We were talking about that in reconciliation. Reactions only stoke fires. And responses, particularly godly ones, help us snuff out the conflict. Being yielded in our spirits and recognizing, diffusing the situation. In any situation, the child of God should be the one who diffuses it. We should not be the one that is escalating it. If we're escalating it, are we being spirit-led? No. And so we need to be the one who is working on diffusing it. The next one, Brother Lucas. Okay, I just took that picture, and that's the Trailblazers Home Foundation. No, I'm kidding. But it could be. It was actually one I just picked off the internet. But the foundation for all the teaching, the foundation for everything that we're talking about. I'm trying to, mine is not even working up here. Is based on the Word of God. So I can read it better here. Sorry about that. I'll do a better job next time. Thought I'd show up better than that. Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but for perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. A soft answer turneth away wrath. We've heard this when the grievous words stir up. And grievous words stir up. Colossians 4:6. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how you ought to answer every man. That's the key verse right there. Let it always be with grace. Someone explain grace to me. When I say the word grace, what do you think? Tate? Mercy's good. Someone else have something? Mercy is great. It always should be with grace. But meekness is another good component of grace. Meekness, mercy. It always should be with grace. And then it needs to be seasoned with salt. Isn't it interesting that the Lord said that, you know, that the Spirit said, but it needs to be seasoned with salt. And salt is a two-sided thing. What do we normally think of when we think of salt? Preservative. Enhances flavor. It tastes good. Both are right. And that's why you used it. Our words should enhance the flavor of what we're trying to tell them. You know, that what's the message we're trying to convey. It should enhance our message, the way we deliver it, our tone, our expressions, the way we even present our body. You know, body language, being mindful of all of these things and how we present things. And salt is a preservative. Spirit-led communication restores. It always restores. It preserves. It does not erode things. If things begin to erode, we have not been led by the Spirit in our communication. Our next one. This was a great saying by J.C. Ryle, so I want to just throw it in here, and we're going to finish with one more slide. True Christianity is not merely believing a certain set of dry, abstract propositions. It is to live in daily personal what? Communication with the actual what? Living person, Jesus Christ. That's powerful. That's really what it is. It's not just this dry abstract propositions, this dry doctrine. Well, I got to do this, 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 and this. And that's what true Christianity is. We won't win the lost. We won't fill this church with that. That's not enhancing. But we will with daily personal communication with an actual living Christ. being Spirit-led and letting Him show us. Now, those nine, I put them in your pamphlets. I think I've got the nine different ways of not communicating properly. I want us to think about those, take your pamphlets home, and we need to identify them within ourselves. They're not to identify your wife as the browbeater or your husband as the bully or Addison as the bully, even though sometimes she is the bully. But they are for us to look within ourselves, because I see some of those in me. I'm like, whoa. You'll see yourself in those. But we've got to, what did we say at the beginning of this this training? That nothing will ever change unless we want it. Who remembers? Confront it. You have to confront it. If we confront it, it will change. The last slide is 1 Peter 1:13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as He which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. So in the verse 14, the word for fashioning means patterning, being a pattern. That we are to be a pattern of holiness is what the whole context of this is. And then conversation is behavior. It's everything. It's the way we speak, it's the way we act, it's the way we look, it's the way it's our expressions, it's the way we do our eyes. It's everything about us. It's the way that we rise and shine here. What kind of nonverbal we got going on here? So, and see, those type of things speak to people. So, and I'm not going to be hard, but I do want to make an example. So let's say we had visitors in our church, and this has happened. I'm just talking to the home folks. Visitors come in our church, and during the preaching of the word, or I've even seen this. They weren't praying. I'm like, if you need to pray, get on your knees so we know that's what you're doing. So that was not what was going on. So what does that speak to someone coming in? It speaks you're bored and you're not paying attention. You know what I'm saying? Now, and you may be bored and you may not be paying attention. But the bottom line is, if we want to see the kingdom of God furthered, what do we have to do? We got to train ourselves. We got to train ourselves to overcome. Spirit-led communication is holiness expressed from body, soul, and spirit. This is what will present salvation to a dying world and build the bridge. We got to build the bridge. People aren't just running, breaking down the door. We've got to go out and build the bridge. We got to make the bridge. It's almost like dropping down the bridge to them. So they'll want to come in. You know, there's just this big moat around churches for the most part, unless they are just a church that doesn't have any kind of teaching in it. But if there's any kind of training in that church, there's like a big moat around it. And it's like, ooh, can't go there. We can't cross over the moat. You know, it's too much. It's too strict or whatever it is. So it's our responsibility to communicate to them effectively and build a bridge to them. Let's get over the moat. Let's get past it. Praise the Lord. That was the last one. You guys did great. It was in depth, I think. It was a challenge. I hope it was a challenge. It stirred my heart. I think it's real important that we learn how to communicate effectively, and we'll diffuse a lot of things in our life, and we'll be surprised at how many opportunities we will get to win more people when we start implementing these things. Does anybody else have something they would like to share? Any thoughts? Commentary? Oh, a thumbs up from Brother Weston. Well, then, I feel good about that.
I got one review.
It was very good. I know you guys are tired, so let's all stand and let's pray. And Pastor, you just lead us or dismiss us or choose whoever you want. Appreciate the opportunity to do this tonight, and I hope it was a blessing.